Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 138th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include, you know them, the I Mom So Hard hashtag, Kristen and Jen. We'll talk about their new tour, their wine collaboration, and much more. We'll also talk with Dr. Julie Gatza. We'll talk about dealing with seasonal digestive distress. We'll also visit with actress and competitor this year on Dancing with the Stars, Melora Hardin. Had a chance to visit with her a couple of weeks ago. And we'll also visit with our good friend, country singer and songwriter, James Robert Webb. We'll talk about his latest single, Stealing Home. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and of course, share with your friends. Now, here's an insecurity we probably weren't aware of. Two-thirds of Americans think that they're bad at carving pumpkins. In a new poll, only one in three people say that they're good at it, 8% said very good, and 24% said somewhat good. Everyone else said bad. Now, around one in four people never carve pumpkins, so they don't know if they're good at it. And this is interesting. Men tend to think that they're better at it than women, or might just have lower standards. 36% of men and 28% of women said they've got a knack for carving pumpkins. Now, the poll also asked people what they do with all those pumpkin seeds after they've scooped them out. The number one answer was eat them. Throw them away was a close second. We're coming upon the holiday time of the year, and I don't know about you, but for me, I worry as we come close to Thanksgiving, turkey kills my stomach, among a million other things. We're going to talk with Dr. Julie Gatza. We're going to talk about some digestive distress as we get ready for the holidays. And Dr. Julie, always good to see you, my friend.
Thanks. Nice to see your face.
Now, Dr. Julie, tell us kind of some of the tidbits of things we really need to be. What are some of those things that really tend to really stress the digestive system, especially as we get close to the holidays?
I mean, obviously, sugar certainly does. And the reason being is once you start eating it, your body craves more of it, especially when it's from cane sugar and things like this. So when you start to stress that system, it changes how your digestive system works. Thus, you're not making the enzymes that you need to break down your foods, and your immune system is constantly on a barrage of things that shouldn't be in the bloodstream. And now you've got the immune system attacking things that they don't really have to do. They should be attacking the bacteria and the things and the viruses that we're all encountering. So it really stresses the immune system. It stresses your digestive system. And, you know, people consume that. And I'm not just talking sugar. We're talking carbohydrates as well. Lots of the breads and the cookies and the cakes. And we're off our game. We're tired. We're exhausted. We're all puffed up. We look, you know, lousy, and we're chubbed up. And we're wondering why we don't look good in the pictures of the family.
It all adds up, doesn't it?
It does add up.
Now, aside from sugar, what are some of those other things that people really need to be more mindful of? Are there certain ones that we only encounter this time of year?
I mean, for certain, you know, all the different sweets, you've got all the high fat foods that people don't generally consume. They're eating a lot of different things that they shouldn't be eating. You know, they're lacking on the protein that they should be consuming. The vegetables are not necessarily being eaten all the time. And so we start to run ourselves into a different type of metabolism, which is a sugar-driven carbohydrate metabolism. And with that, the body is just completely overwhelmed, and we're not making enough digestive enzymes to break down our foods. So now we have unbroken down food fermenting in the gut. And this is where we get gas and bloating and indigestion and heartburn. We can't sleep, and, you know, we're too fat feeling. And it's simply because of all this, you know, crappy food that we're eating.
And Dr. Julie, how hard is it to get away from those sugars and things? Because we all know that they make you feel good for a little bit.
Look around. who's thin and fit and eating well? Those people who are doing that, they're quite disciplined. They're putting in the very good rules, which is eating lots of protein, eating the protein first in a meal, eating vegetables. A lot of those people are taking high quality digestive enzymes, because if you take high quality digestive enzymes, it will help to break down everything you are eating. So if you're eating good food, like the slim, healthy looking people, great, you're breaking down that food. If you're eating, you know, a plate full of unfood or too high fat or too much food, when you take high quality digestive enzymes, I use one called Absorbaid, and I've been using it for years, but it helps to break down everything that's bad on the plate so that you're not just having all these toxins and fatty things that slow you down and put weight on at this time.
And I know we've talked a little bit about these before, but I know you've got some protocols to kind of, for folks to really zero in on as to help with that digestive health. And I wanted to give you a chance to kind of talk through some of those. I know you've got seven of them. I didn't know if we wanted to touch each of those or if you just had a couple that you wanted to delve into.
Well, one of the first ones, and you know, this is such a hidden secret that you'll never see a commercial about it. You'll see commercials about getting rid of gas and bloating and, you know, indigestion, and it's all medical and, you know, drug based, but no one's talking about digestive health as far as what can we do to make our digestive system work more efficiently. So, you know, how many people say, oh, I'm just gassy, or boy, I'm so full after this eating, or, you know, I have indigestion at night and I'm constipated. I hear that so often and no one, you know, even wants to admit it. But the fact is they're not breaking down their food. So when they take Absorbaid with the meal, number one, it's the way to get pretty much all the nutrition that you can from every meal that you're eating. So one, take Absorbaid. You can take it as a child, an adult, as an elderly. You can give it to your dog. And when you take this, it will help you get the most maps from every single meal that you're eating and help to get rid of the toxins. Protein is also very much avoided. You know, people have maybe one protein a day, or they'll, you know, send themselves off to work with a cup of coffee and a bagel and call it, you know, breakfast, or they'll say, oh, I'm just not a breakfast person. Well, the fact is you need to be. You need to be eating some protein. You need to feed your children protein. You're expecting them to perform in school and get along with others and not space out and be tired. Well, give them eggs, give them bacon, give them sausage, give them good food in the morning, and at least give them a chance. And we are ignoring this constantly. We're eating, you know, lame sandwiches in the afternoon. We're having, you know, pasta dinners with not much protein in the evening, or we're skipping it, or, you know, we're really become a carbohydrate driven society. And eating protein will help you lose weight and give you energy and let you sleep better.
You mentioned a couple of those favorite proteins of mine when you talk sausage and bacon along with eggs. There's good to the fats as well, and it's also a good thing to build on in the early part of your day as well, right?
It absolutely is. And, you know, not just your early day, but your early life, because it's like having a bank vault with all sorts of nutrition. And if you've been fed well since you've been a child, you have that vault filled with all sorts of reserves. If we aren't feeding ourselves well, we've been using up these reserves forever. And now we turn 20, 30, 40, and we wonder why we're not doing well. And it's because we haven't had the reserves in the beginning. So, you know, number two would, well, first of all, eggs. I can't say enough about eating eggs. They're wonderful for the body. They come in all different forms. They're easy to carry. You can have a snack with them. 10 minutes after eating an egg, all your sugar cravings go away. You'll lose weight doing that. And, you know, once you've kind of handled your protein, fish is not eaten enough in this country unless we're living by the, you know, big bodies of water. And we've made an effort to do that. So we need to be able to break down those proteins and, you know, making the enzymes. So every time we're eating well, we're fueling our body to start to be more efficient.
And I know that one of the things was eat when you're hungry and not to eat when you feel stressed. And how hard is that to get across to people? Because I know that comfort eating is something we all tend to do as well.
It's very hard. And it's, you know, sort of an old habit that everyone will fall into. But, you know, if you're really trying to improve yourself, always start with digestion. I've been a doctor for 30 years. And when we fix somebody's digestion first, we really can handle all the other things that they're trying to improve upon themselves. And so eating not when you're stressed, fine, eat, but eat things that are easy. How about soups? How about, you know, have a smoothie, have something that just doesn't take much energy to break down. Because when you're stressed, you're not pumping out great digestion. What you're doing is you're trying to handle everything else that's going on in your life. And, you know, I'm sorry it's happening. So just be super nice with your digestive system. Take enzymes, help your body break those foods down. And you know, just be smart about it that way.
And I know another one that I've heard a lot since I was a youngster as well was to chew more. And you've got to chew 22 times. Is 21 not enough? 23? Is it overkill? Or 22 just a good even number?
That's very funny. I made up that number and I made it up because I figured, you know, try to remember that it was 22. But the fact is, when you do start to count out how many chews you have per bite, we find that we are swallowing way too soon. It's like catching a piece of steak from your Labrador Retriever and swallowing it whole. And if you really think about it, a lot of us are eating way too quickly. We're consuming, you know, faster than we need to. We're not chewing enough. And when you chew, you're basically breaking down that food. When you send it down to the digestive system, it already knows it's coming. You've set off a whole enzyme system. And then what occurs is it says, oh my goodness, thank you so much. That steak was difficult to break down. Thanks for chewing it. We don't have as much work. Now, what that really means is you're getting more nutrients every time that you eat when you're chewing your food better.
Something that I was always told because it you wouldn't eat as much was why I was told. Maybe that was I should have looked at my belly line whenever they were telling me that probably.
That's absolutely true as well, because when you're chewing that well, you're slowing yourself down. You're putting nutrition into the body. You send signals quicker that basically said, yes, you're fuller soon, as compared to, you know, piling it all in and then going, hey, you know, I overate. Well, if you're slowing it down by chewing that way, you're also going to be doing the same thing.
And I know this is something we talked about before, is the use of spices. And there are some spices that folks don't realize that do have a very beneficial effect on you as well.
That's right. You know, turmeric is really great for inflammation in the body. You've got ginger, which helps out with digestion. Mint, the same thing. I'm not a huge fan of hot and spicy things constantly, but even that improves a circulation to the digestive system. You know, things like sauerkraut and fermented food aid in digestion as well, which is why a lot of these ethnicities have these foods as part of their culture, because way back when they also needed to be able to break down the proteins and the steak. So you put sauerkraut with the sausages and you have an easier time digestion. Pineapple breaks down protein. So that's why you'll see a lot of pineapple / protein meals, because it really is an aid to that.
All things that that maybe we hadn't thought of before. Now, Dr. Julie, if folks have questions, would like to delve maybe a little deeper into it, where's the best place for folks to find more information to help their digestive tract and get ready for the fall season as we work into it?
They can go to a website, which is naturessources.com. They can read about the Absorb-Aid and all the different forms it comes in. I mean, it's really one of those things that you get the most bang for your buck. You can buy a whole bunch of nutrition and supplementation, which I'm fully supporting. But if you're on a budget or you don't like to take vitamins and swallow too many things at one time, you know, get this Absorb-Aid, check it out. It's really made as well as it could possibly be made. It's a vegan formula. And the other thing you can do is you can call the 1-800 number and you can ask for some free samples, or they'll give you 20% off your first order if you use the code radio. And that number is 1-800-827-7656.
All right. Well, Dr. Julie, it is always great to visit with you. I appreciate you helping us as we get ready for the holiday season upcoming, and look forward to talking again real soon, my friend.
Thank you.
Remember when you were a kid and your trick for cleaning your room fast was just shoving everything under your bed? Well, apparently that carries over into adulthood. The average American admits to using 5 different cleaning shortcuts. The most common one is air freshener. 40% of people say they'll just spray it rather than cleaning the root cause of the smell. 37% will light a candle to mask all the bad odors. Other shortcuts include making the bed but leaving the room a mess and packing clutter into a closet or cupboard. Not surprisingly, young adults use the most shortcuts, 70% of all people said that their cleaning routine has improved as they've gotten older. And 60% have adopted new cleaning habits since the start of the pandemic.
You've seen the hashtag #IMomSoHard, and all started by these two, Kristen and Jen. We've got with us this morning. First off, Kristen and Jen, thank you guys so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you for having us. We're very excited to be here.
Now, Kristen, tell us what is to come from the getaway tour. How excited you are to be back out there live in front of audiences again, and how different is the experience now than it was before?
You know what? We are so excited to be back on the road. We've done a few shows now. They've all been so fun. The audiences are really rowdy. We're seeing an uptick in the number of husbands that are coming to the show, which we always love. That's always a good time. And, you know, I know things are different, and we're coming out of a rough couple of years, but everybody's just eager to laugh. So we're having a great time. And the show's called The Getaway Tour. The idea is like, hey, you need to get away from your family because distance does make the heart grow fonder, and we haven't had a lot of distance, so nobody feels very fond of me. So this has been a really, really fun tour. It's an all-new show, so we had a lot to say after spending so much time together. And that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it.
And Jen, I know, also excited to talk about the partnering, the collaboration with Marty Speight and Paso Robles and Accomplice. Tell our listeners about the new Accomplice you guys have along with you.
Well, Kristen and I are big fans of wine. We really enjoy a nice glass of wine. And we had this opportunity to partner with O'Neill Wines. And they were like, hey, if you want to come up and sample all of our best wines and then choose which ones you would like to call yours, we would love to do that with you. And obviously, we probably too quickly, not in a cool way, said yes very quickly. Because the moms, like, which is what we call all of our fans, have been telling us forever, like, you need your own wine. Like, so we went up and we did the heavy lifting of sampling all these wines, and we found a red, a white, and a rosé, and they're delicious, and we're so excited about it.
That almost sounds like a tour in itself, just the wine tasting part of that, right?
Well, they asked us to leave. They were like, you guys have been here too long. You guys have to go home. But we were like, but this is what we call heaven. So, and they were like, yeah, but, you know, 2 days max, and you guys have been here 14.
Now, Kristen, tell us what has the inspiration been like seeing the fans face-to-face again, and how much different is the feel going out on the road now?
You know, we were not sure what it was going to be like, but, I mean, it's been incredible. Like, the moms are just so happy to be out. They've needed a break. Like, moms are just cool. They really are. They, like, go with the flow. They were told, like, hey, you're going to have a really hard year and a half, and they just did it and dealt with it. And they obviously need a break now because they're so happy to be out. There's a mom that came up to us in tears, and she's like, I have 6 kids that I've been remote learning with from home. Like, this is the first time I've been out with my friends in 2 years. And it's amazing. They've been great, and we've had such a good time.
And Jen, the same for you as well.
Yes. I mean, honestly, I will tell you, on the first show where we came out and we got to see, like, you know, 1,000 ladies and, like, 4 dudes, I think Jen and I both felt a little emotional. We both felt like, okay, this means, like, things are on the upswing. Like, this is where we're meant to be. This is what we love doing. We love doing the live shows because we get to put faces to the names that make the comments and follow the videos, and it's really special. So I think Jen and I are incredibly grateful that this is happening, and I think we're just eating up every minute of it. It's so fun. We're having so much fun because we're so grateful.
And Kristen, when you guys started out to where you are today, even in the midst of seeing a pandemic in between those times, I mean, how much different has it turned out to what your original aspirations were with the IMomSoHard, if you will?
Yeah, Jen, we
never could have imagined, like, everything that happened. Like, we just, when we started doing the videos, Kristen and I were friends and new mothers, and we were like, man, there's a lot of really dark and super boring stuff out there for moms. Like, wouldn't it be great if there was something that just, like, made them laugh a little bit about how ridiculous the whole parenthood situation is? And we started doing the videos, and they just caught like wildfire. We never could have expected it. We never dreamed of it. We just thought, hey, we're going to get together and laugh a little bit and call it work. And, yeah, just been, I mean, we've got the podcast, the books, the tour, the wine. It's just amazing.
And more slashes to go after that, I'm sure, in the years to come as well. What's the next one that you want to add, aside from author and all the others?
At some point, I'd really love to add a T-shirt. Like, I would think, I think a simple merch line would be a good idea. I mean, the fact that we don't have it is fantastic. But yeah, I think, like, we want to just keep pushing in every creative direction we can. We have some fun things that are kind of cooking in TV and in film. And also, I think we want to write another book, like the first book that we did, which was really, really fun and really hard, but really, really great. And so I think we'd like to do that too. I mean, who knows? Sky's the limit, I guess.
That's right. And again, Kristen and Jen, I want to make sure and let folks know where they can find more about the tour, the podcast, the wine, the comedy specials, all of that. Where's the best place to keep up?
Well, you can get your tickets at imonsohard.com. That's got all of our information. But you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, all those places. Just imomsohard.
The comedy special is on Amazon right now, so if you have Amazon, you can watch it.
That's good stuff. Again, you know, I'm from imomsohard, Kristen and Jen. Great to visit with you guys this morning. I guess I'm going to have to get a bottle of wine for my wife now.
That sounds great. You should get three.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you for having us.
Do you remember the dress that went viral in 2015 because some people saw black and blue and others saw gold and white? Well, a different optical illusion dress is going viral now, but this illusion was intentional. TikTok is currently obsessed with a $24 dress made by a company called Fashion Nova because it makes you look thinner than you actually are. It's called the Mind of My Own Maxi Dress. It's got black, white, and brown vertical stripes all over it, which tend to be thinning in general. But the real illusion has to do with a built-in belt that cinches at your waist. Now, once you cinch it, the sides of the belt blend in with the dress, so you can't really tell it's there. And that makes your waist look smaller, almost like you're in a corset. Now, a woman on TikTok posted a video of herself in the dress last week, and when she pulls the belt tight, it looks like her waist shrinks by 3 inches. Now, it's already sold out on Fashion Nova's website, and women are asking them to make more in stock. Now, the best you can do is sign up and be notified by email as soon as more arrived.
Dancing with the Stars is back on ABC's Monday nights, 8 Eastern, 7 local time, streaming the next day also on ABC and Hulu. And one of the members of the new cast of dancers, Melora Hardin, we've got her on the line. First off, Melora, always great to visit with you, my friend.
Oh, so nice to talk to you.
Now, Melora, what was your first thoughts whenever it was announced and you were picked as one of the contestants on Dancing with the Stars? What was the first thought in your mind?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Dancing with the Stars is something that we've been trying to, you know, maneuver and you know, have happen for many years. It's just I've always been, you know, working on something else and haven't been able to make it work. So it was really exciting to me that my schedule opened up in the right time for this 30th anniversary of Dancing with the Stars. And I've been wanting to do it. You know, when I was a little girl, I wanted to be a ballerina. And so, I got to, you know, sort of piqued my little girl fantasy of that. And I thought, oh, maybe that'll be fun. I used to put on shows in my backyard with all my neighborhood kids when I was 8 and 9 and 10. And, you know, and it's like putting on a giant, you know, show every 5 days. So that's what I thought. Like, okay, let's go. It's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be a lot.
Boy, was I right.
What have the rehearsals, the workouts and all that, what has that been like? Was it above and beyond what you were expecting coming in?
I think that, yes, I think it was in not necessarily the ways you might expect. I think I knew it was going to make me sore, and I knew it was going to, you know, be stressful on my body, but I really didn't know how stressful it was going to be emotionally. I think that's the thing. It's just very, it's a lot, you know. It's a lot as far as what you have to wrangle and your own inner demons around, like, constantly what that is to be a beginner in front of millions of people every 5 days and try to create some illusion that you know what you're doing.
And Melora, what's the most proud moment you've had thus far? Is it finally mastering a certain step? What have you taken the best, the biggest pride out of so far?
I think the fact that I've just surrendered to the beauty of being a beginner at 54 years old, like that is, and sort of how wonderful that is. Like that's a wonderful thing, and that it's brave to be a beginner in front of millions of people, and to sort of welcome them into the process of that, and the challenges of that, and the stresses of that, and I think that's the thing I'm most proud of, that I'm willing to be vulnerable in that way with the world, with those millions of people that are watching it. That's a big, to me, it's a big ask. I'm a pretty private person. I prefer to be vulnerable in front of, you know, in the skin of another character. It's a hard thing to, for me as an actor, to say, oh, I don't have lines and I don't have scenes that I can embody somebody else's journey. You want to know about me? That's a bigger challenge, because I prefer to pick and choose who gets to know the real Melora. But I've been working on a documentary series for the last 4 years, and I felt like if my subject in my documentary, Thunder Hunter and Me, can do that and be as vulnerable and raw and as she is, then she inspired me to be able to be this vulnerable and raw in front of millions of people. So it's all her fault.
You got to blame somebody, right, Melora?
That's right, exactly.
And Melora, you talked about being emotionally drained and all of that. And how much have you learned that the emotion plays into the dancing that maybe you didn't realize before?
Well, I think it plays into it so much because we're putting on these giant shows that are like spectacles, you know, once a week. And I mean, every 5 days you go from 0 to 60, you know, as hard and fast as you can. That's what she said. And then you're literally like a beginner again, and you're starting from ground zero, and you're trying to get there again. And, you know, like when I did Chicago on Broadway, you got to have opening night, but you knew you were coming back the next day to do the same thing, and coming back the next day to do the same thing for those months that you're there to do that. And it's emotionally exhausting to like amp yourself up to do a show, a full blown show, and then to be right at the bottom of the heap again, figuring out brand new steps from some other dance that you've never done.
And what is the dance that scares you most? That I know that you're going to have to do all of them. What is the one that really has your goat?
Oh gosh. To be honest, I think they're all going to be challenging, but I'm mostly curious about which one is actually, you know, maybe the most, feels the most natural to me, because I haven't run into one yet.
we're hoping for that for you, Melora.
Thank you.
Now, Melora, folks, of course, can vote for you. I want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can cast those votes Monday night all the way through Tuesday as well.
Yeah, they can vote for me on the show night, on Monday night, and they can vote 10 times on each device. So that means they could do 10 votes on their cell phone and their partner's cell phone and their best friend's cell phone, and they can also do 10 times on dwts.vote.abc.com. They can vote for me on their computer and their best friend's computer and on and on and on. So, yeah, you could get the whole neighborhood together and vote on all your devices 10 times.
It's a Melora voting party. That's what we're scheduling.
That's a great idea. I'm going to throw one of those when I'm not doing Dancing with the Stars.
That's awesome. Well, Melora, always great to visit with you. Again, catch a new episodes Dancing with the Stars, ABC, Monday night, 8 Eastern, 7 local time. Streaming the next day, ABC and Hulu. Melora, have a great weekend. Look forward to watching you Monday night.
Thank you so much.
Now, Halloween is less than 2 weeks out, and if you just thought, wow, I need to find a costume, you're not alone. A poll taken earlier this week of 17,000 Americans found 26% of adults plan to dress up this year, but almost half of those people still don't know what their costume will be. 58% of people who plan to dress up said they've got a specific costume in mind or already bought one. The other 42% still don't know what they're going as, but say they'll figure it out between now and October 31st. Young people were the most likely to say they don't have a costume yet. Over half of the people 18 to 25 who plan to wear one say they don't know what it is yet.
Always great to have our friends back on the show, and I don't think there's any closer than James Robert Webb, and that's not just by geographically either. Another Okie with us today, and first off, James, always good to visit with you, my friend.
Man, it's good to see you, Cameron. Thanks for having me on again.
Now tell us, we're on the backside of 2021 and got the single Stealing Home, and this, I tell you, James, this one is pretty timely in the story.
Thanks, Sam. You know, when I heard the song, I just, you know, knew I wanted to record it. And, I've said before, you know, when we recorded this, it meant something different. And we recorded before the pandemic and released the album, you know, last year when you couldn't tour or do anything really to support it. And, with losing my mom over this summer and the last year we've had, I mean, the song has definitely come to mean something even more deep to me, and I think it seems to touch a lot of listeners that way too.
And James, I know this is something that we talk about just about every time we visit, is the sound growing, the maturity, and also just your comfort in your own skin. It seems like it's just coming through more and more with each release as well.
I'm trying to get there, man. You know, that's the part of it is being comfortable in the voice, because I've only been singing about 8 years, really. I mean, I sing in the shower and stuff, but I didn't really have any vocal training, although I was a musician. And like you've probably heard before, I mean, I didn't really start singing until I started songwriting, and then kind of had to, through that process, kind of had to find my voice there. But luckily, I worked with some people that could hear, you know, through the imperfections and the inexperience, and a lot of people at radio been early fans and stuck with me through the years, and so I'm including yourself, so thank you very much. So it's fun to kind of, you know, to see that, to kind of look back as a third person and see the growth of James Robert Webb, on especially vocally. And now I'm back in studio and, you know, re-singing some of my earlier stuff, like the Christmas album. And so it's just kind of interesting to see the growth and what I can do. And I really found that, I really find that live too, because like the last show that we played was in the Arbuckle Mountains last weekend, and just a bunch of dust and at night, and sometimes my low in the sound, you know, sometimes the sound isn't the best at places, like, you know, outside, and you have trouble hearing yourself. And I found at different times of the day, but also across my career, some of my lower range has kind of given way to a higher range. So things I've been recording lately, I've been trying to really stretch my upper range on that. So it'll be interesting to see what we come out with next.
And James, to have the folks that have been in your corner as well, I know that Buddy has been huge in kind of helping you develop that sound. And I want to give you a chance to talk about some of the others that have really had your back, if you will.
Yeah, this album, including Feeling Home, was produced by Buddy Cannon, and I kind of took a back seat out of the production side because I just wanted to let Buddy do his thing. But really, there's a lot of people I've worked with that kind of got me to the point where I could step in and work with Buddy. I think my last album, Honky Tonk Revival, before this one, from 2017, I started kind of finding my vocal wheelhouse about halfway through that album. As a writer, you write songs and then, sometimes you write songs and maybe they're for other people and you try to sing them, maybe they're not right in your tessitura or whatever you want to say, but I've seen my range kind of expand since that album, but really my producer back, my co, you know, me and that album I produced with my friend Daniel Kleindienst, who is at Banner Music, and he's really kind of, on the recording, that's kind of who he's kind of helped me get up through the years doing those things and leveling up as a vocalist in the studio, so that when the time came and I started working with Buddy, I was ready for that. And I've had a couple other people before that even help me. There's Heath Ham, who's in Austin now, that used to be in my hometown, who helped me out quite a bit. And just all the vocal teachers and everybody else to kind of work with. That's been, it's just really, it's certainly taken a village. It probably takes like a metropolitan city of people to to get me to where I am. So I'm really grateful for all the teachers and people that have helped me along the way.
And James, the pandemic, we talked about how it's affected us all in so many ways. And with you having that extra time not being on the road, what were maybe some of the things that you were delving into songwriting wise on your process?
Well, we can talk lyrically and topics on one side, and on the other side, I think music, like the notes and things and styles and influences. And I love all kinds of music, and I write all kinds of music with different artists and people as a songwriter, but I really tried to focus on bringing those influences and different things that I love into my own music as well. So, I don't know that we necessarily hear that in this song because that was, kind of before the pandemic. But, I've brought, some more pop elements, some more rock elements, some more just Americana, old country kind of elements, organic kind of sounding stuff. And writing with different people helps. And then I think at some point as an artist and a songwriter, you have to become more comfortable in doing the weird stuff, stuff that nobody else would do. Everybody else in the room is like, that's interesting or. And usually you think, well, that's too way, it's too far out of left field, and you're, once you throw it out there, then everybody's like, whoa, I would never thought to do that. And so that's like, a lot of artists will, if they keep working at it, that songwriting will learn to embrace the ideas that are unusual, because that's what makes you sound unique.
The single Stealing Home, what's it like to get the feedback from the listeners? I mean, I know that you hear from the radio station guys how much we like it, where the spins are going and all that, but to get the honest feedback from the listeners, what's been the best that you've had so far?
There's been a lot. It's just been really kind of cool the messages we get on socials and how people talk about it at shows. I think one that really stuck in my head was I love that line, in there, because I've heard 1,000 people say it, but I never heard it in the song. Like, your dad said, the folks who bought it really sure do seem to love the place. That's something people always say to ease the grief of losing, the house or something that they're selling. They know it's in good hands, is the emotion behind that. And I had, someone tell me that really, really touched them, because they had just recently had, they're selling their father's home, and he had to go into assisted living. And so, going, the whole process of going back and, you know, having to sell at home themselves and make those arrangements just kind of really resonated like a lightning strike with this song and them. And they're just very emotional, and I was touched just from hearing the story. So that, and that's the kind of thing, you know, that I love, because, you know, I've had songs touch me like that, and that's the kind of music that I want to make, is, you know, music that makes people feel something.
Now, we've talked about the success of your previous singles, and James, we actually talked about this before we came on the air, was the difference in the tempo, and how hard was it coming up, putting Stealing Home out when you did, just based on tempo-wise as well? I know there's a lot of thought put into that.
Well, you know, there is a lot of thought put into that, because, you know, Nashville's a 10-year town, and... you know, if you're trying to be the best, you're spending that 10 years, if it takes you 10 years, unless you're, you know, some lucky person that, for whatever reason, blows up on TikTok because you do some song that, you know, is a novelty song or whatever, you know, that's not going to, nobody's going to remember 10 years from now. If you really, you know, are a serious artist and songwriter and try to, you know, put in the time, you're like me, and, you know, you're an obsessive type A personality, you're always thinking about stuff like that. And I have never put out any song that wasn't like tempo. Maybe a mid-tempo is about the closest thing, because the radio people, when I say radio people, I mean like the promoters and people from the label and everything are like, nobody will play an indie, you know. And if you put out a song, it's going to take a lot longer to build at radio. But this, you know, there's several really great songs on this album that are kind of, that would work at radio. But it's just, you know, you have to think, you know, what kind of fits. And for me, when it came down to the decision, Stealing Home is just so, just like almost every other single I've released off this album, it just means something different to people after the pandemic, after the world's kind of shut down and gone crazy and we've lost a bunch of people. And we're all, you know, coming out of this phase of, you know, being afraid of what's going to happen to the world. So, which is almost like a bigger metaphor, you know, of stealing the world, not just stealing home. So, at the end of the day, we just have to go with it, and, you know, we'll either sink or swim, but it seems to be getting a good response. It's a great song. I can say that because I didn't write it. You know, I can talk about how, I feel like if I talk about my own songs, which people tell me they love all the time, but I have trouble still. I don't like, as an artist, talking about how great my songs are, you know, that I write, because I come across as, you know, not humble, I think. But Stealing Home, I can talk about that all day long, because it was written by, you know, just some great writers, Marla Cannon Goodman, Don Sampson, and Casey Beathard. Everybody knows those names if you're in Nashville songwriting. And, you know, it fit me. And here's the other thing. The other thing that just blows me away is I released this in, May in 2020. And then last year after that, Willie Nelson technically covers me and releases this on his album last year. It was a spring. So now, the truth is, Willie and I both heard this song, and, you know, I ended up recording it before. And, I don't think Willie heard my version and decided to cut it. But you know, that is really cool that Willie released it. And the other thing is that if you look at his album and mine, it's the same track number. So I don't know, maybe Willie did. I don't know. I like to think maybe Willie did listen to my album.
He liked your placement.
He might, exactly. So I'm waiting for Willie to come out with a cover of Oak Fusty Whiskey, so that would be pretty awesome.
There you go. Now you are now verified on TikTok, so he may have heard about it on TikTok. Who knows?
That's right. He might have been, you know, scrolling through his TikTok feed with some medicinal and or recreational. I don't know.
That's like, funny.
Who's this goofy guy?
Now, James,
that's a whole other animal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Where do you find the process for the TikTok? That's one that I've seen a lot of folks have difficulty with.
Well, my process on TikTok is would have to edit if I was going to say what I think about TikTok. But, you know, I'm not going to let TikTok change who I am. And I see so many artists just, you know, kind of chase after trends on TikTok. And I'll do a trend every once in a while. But there's a lot of great artists that I see that just, like, they use TikTok to try to, I don't know, like, do comedy stuff or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, and that's great if that's what you want to do and that comes naturally to you, that's great. But for me, I just don't feel like that. I, you know, if TikTok had been around when I was in high school, I would have totally done that kind of stuff. I would have done the comedy things all the time, and maybe I should do it. But I don't know. Maybe I could revive that part of James as the dad joke guy. Maybe that's what I should do. Yeah.
See, well,
it sounds kind of bitter, but at the same time, it's like people are always telling me, "Oh, you've got to, you know, you got to get your numbers up. You've got to blah blah blah. You got to do this." And I'm like, you know, dude, it's about the music, number one, to me. And if, you know, if the music's not there, then I don't care about anything else. Now, that said, I mean, I'm not above writing a song just for TikTok, because I think there's TikTok is very interesting in that it's the perfect summation of it's 15 seconds of fame, but also like it's a perfect summation of like our short attention span now, like a song that's like 5 seconds long, and just things like, you know, I'm at the drive-in, you know, or something just random, you know, like, what do you think about, you know? So like that song, you know, you would have never known it, that song, you know, hell no to the no, 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 hell to the no. I mean, that blew up on TikTok from, it's an old song, right? But probably didn't know when they wrote it. But the song on TikTok that I've probably had the most success with on music is Hardworking Women, because I think, you know, people are, we have a lot of ladies out there, like they're taking, you know, like for example, Logger Chick is, you know, taking pictures, you know, videos of her day, what she's doing. I see a lot of trucker ladies and, you know, people do, you know, ladies doing their job, different work and stuff. And I think they just searched for a Hardworking Woman song and they found it and they liked it. So, you know, and I wrote that song probably, I don't know, 6 years ago, which is kind of crazy, right? And so yeah, part of me still is, I'm not opposed to TikTok, but as far as the regular James Robert Webb, like this album type of thing, I don't know. I haven't really, I have mixed feelings on TikTok.
That was an extremely heavy sigh that you took after that one.
That was an extremely long answer. But I'm trying to be completely truthful on that. It's, you know, I don't watch TikTok a lot because social media to me is so toxic, really. I mean, I think the best example is Twitter. I mean, I think Twitter is half the reason our country is so divided right now. And, you know, like the trend right now on Facebook, like most, any radio station, and forgive me if you guys do this, but like almost every radio station that I follow, like all I see on the feed is like almost clickbait thing, like, you know, one of these four country artists has to go, you know, or what, because they're, you know, somebody's decided that they need engagement on their social profile, you know, and so, I mean, and that's fine if that works for you, but it seems like I'm seeing the same thing coming from everybody, where it's almost like the radio stations and just like the artists, we're trying to be social media stars, you know. And that's a good thing, is if TikTok or Instagram is perfect for you and people just naturally flow to that, then that's great for you. But for me, it's hard to be authentic and entertaining on a social media platform sometimes. But there's probably, maybe I'll figure that out. I mean, I might figure that out tomorrow. I don't know. Might see a completely different James Robert Webb on all the socials.
We'll keep our eyes out for that. We'll keep our eyes out for that. Now, James, if folks want to find more about upcoming music, upcoming appearances, social media and all that, where's the best place for everybody to keep up with all that?
You can go to jamesrobertwebb.com. You can search Swiss Cows, DuckDuckGo, or whatever Google Earth alternative you want to use for James Robert Webb, and I'm like the first 40 first 40 results. And really, you know, on socials, particularly Instagram, is probably where I'm most active. And as much as I, you know, have complained about social media here on this, if you're listening to this, message me on social media. I still, for the most part, you know, tell me that you heard me on the station or on the podcast. In your DM, and I'll definitely respond to it because I do like, despite the problems and foibles of social media, I do enjoy interacting with fans on there because that's probably the best way, especially during the pandemic. It's really been magnified as the best way to interact with real music fans.
That is right. Well, James, it is always great to visit with you, my friend. I wish you nothing but continued success. And if we don't catch up with you before the holidays, happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Thank you. I hope you have great holidays. And I hope everybody that's listening out there has wonderful holidays. And just remember to take a little time and be yourself and enjoy this world we're living in.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 138th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, maybe anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, shirts, stickers, mugs, tumblers, and more. It's all at gqwithcam.com/shop. If you have a special guest idea, email me gqwithcam@gmail.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your Wednesday.